Welcome in. We're going to check in with Christina Long down in Florida today. She's at the SEC Spring Meetings. I want to tell you that our podcast brought to you by Eglin's Best. When it comes to your game day, you want the best in your lineup. That includes your eggs. Eglin's Best delivers more the nutrition you need with six times more vitamin D and 25% less saturated fat than ordinary eggs. You can score now with Eglin's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, and better eggs. You can visit eglinsbest.com. For more information, we're also brought to you by Bentonville Glass. They've been serving their community since 1971. They're committed, professional, and versatile. And if you're looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas, looking for skilled craftsmanship, look no further than Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. You can come by and see them at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at bentonvilleglass.com. Busy, busy week here covering the Razorbacks. I'm getting ready to head up to Kansas. Ethan Westerman's over in Oklahoma City. We'll check in with him tomorrow as the Razorbacks get ready to play Nebraska at the Women's College World Series. And Christina Long is down in, we'll call it Destin, although I think you could call it Sandestin, Miramar Beach. You never really know where you are down there. You know, you just kind of roll from one into the other. She's at SEC Spring Meetings. It's every year, Memorial Day week, the ADs, the head coaches, the presidents, chancellors, SEC office, they all get together down on the beach and kind of talk about what's up. Christina, what's up in the SEC? Like, what's the big talking point this week?
Yeah, the number one talking point, as it has been, it feels like, for the last several years, has been playoff expansion. Will they, won't they, what size will they land on for playoff expansion? That's been kind of the big thing. There's also a lot of talk about the College Sports Commission and whether it's working, how to make it work better. Today, it was really interesting, the latest sort of government attempt to control college athletics came out with a bill presented by Ted Cruz and Maria Cantwell. And so that kind of came out as everybody was meeting this morning. And so it was interesting to kind of see everybody try to get their arms around that in real time. I mean, I think there was expectation that it was coming, so people kind of knew what it was going to say a little bit. But now that it is kind of becoming reality, that's also been a big talking point. So there's a lot of very big picture college sports business stuff happening. But I think the playoff conversation has been kind of at the forefront for the last couple of days.
When it comes to the playoff, the feel I get, and you tell me if you think I'm wrong, is that a lot of ADs and coaches want to go to a 24-team playoff. The SEC office would be okay not doing that. I think the SEC championship game is a key cog here. SEC is really, really proud of its championship game. The fact that they were the first to do it in 1992, it took like 4 years before the Big 12 came up with its championship game. And then over time, everybody else kind of fell in line, and yet everybody's got a championship game now. Now the championship game, it feels like it's in danger. And it certainly would be, I think, if the playoff expanded, because you got to have more Saturdays to play that playoff or more weekends to play it. I think ultimately the presidents and the chancellors, you know, they're going to vote with what their ADs and their coaches want. Which might make this championship game be a little bit in peril. I wonder what your sense is from talking to people there.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think, you know, they don't expect some any kind of decision on this week. They do not expect to, I think, vote on this. It's really been kind of about talking about it. That's how these meetings go a lot of times. Rarely do big things get decided during this week. They get talked about, and then you'll get some little business items along the way. But I think when it comes to playoff expansion, I think a lot of coaches like the idea of 24. I don't think coaches are married to the championship game. I don't know. I think that the SEC, you know, Greg Sankey kind of keeps leaning on me like, hey, we have a contract with ESPN. We have obligations. It's not as simple as what if we just don't want the conference championship game anymore. And I know Big Ten Commissioner Tony T has said that 16 teams is not enough to make up the money from conference championship weekend if you were able to get rid of that. And that's why he's part of why he's been such an advocate for 24. I think there's also some stuff in the mix with ESPN versus Fox in all of this. I think ESPN, I think if they stay at 12, obviously, or if they go to 16, I think ESPN still gets to be pretty exclusive with that. And I think if they go to 24, Fox would kind of get a piece of that pie, which obviously they do not want. So there is a lot, you know, it's another example of TV kind of controlling a lot of things here. But I think overall coaches and ADs support 24 because it's, you know, especially in the SEC level, it's more access, more teams possible. You know, it's why it's good for a program like Arkansas if they were to go to more teams, because the more teams can get in, the less perfect you have to be, the more losses you can have and still get in. There's been a lot of talk about does that hurt the regular season? That's one of Greg Sankey's concerns. He cited on that first or second day. Will it end up being like the NFL, where late regular season games, you rest your starters and nobody's really that interested? And I asked Ryan Silverfield about that, especially it was interesting because, you know, he's got an NFL background, and he said, you know, maybe there's some schools that would try to schedule FCS teams late, which now they're not going to be allowed to do as of yesterday. ADs voted to no longer allow non-conference scheduling during that penultimate week. So no more SoCon on Saturday. But Silverfield was basically saying, you know, I think the SEC, you have nine conference games. It's just too competitive a league for you to realistically have games where you just put all the twos and threes in. So there's some concern about that. I don't think coaches are as worried about it as maybe Sankey is. But I think that's one of the big talking points that comes up with playoff expansion is, are we going to end up devaluing the regular season? But I think there's kind of mixed reviews on that.
There's two points that you just made that I want to follow up on. First off is the Fox element. I am of the belief, and I think a lot of people are, that the Big Ten is a puppet for what Fox Sports wants. And so I have a feeling, and I wonder, you know, what your thoughts are here, that you know, what you're hearing from the Big Ten and its commissioner is really what the Big Ten is hearing from Fox in an attempt to open up the TV market for the playoffs.
But in the same vein, I think the SEC is kind of a puppet for what ESPN wants. No, I mean, they're the same.
Christina,
the same
it's thing. Like it's like Democrats and Republicans and Fox News and MSNBC or CNN, whatever people want to say the network is. That's what you see with conferences. It is you've got the Big Ten and Fox are over here, and you've got the SEC and ESPN are over here, and everybody else is just kind of left in the middle. Like, who do we follow?
Exactly. And it's another way that television has really kind of shaped everything. I mean, we've been talking about, whenever we talk about Arkansas's kind of financial picture, one of the big things that's come up is, you know, what's the new multimedia rights deal going to be? That's going to be such a huge injection of cash for them. Everything, a lot of stuff comes down to TV, which multimedia rights doesn't include like broadcast rights, but it includes the value of those rights is based on how often these logos and signs are getting shown on TV. Mm-hmm. So everything ultimately comes back to that.
Yeah, the advertising rights, I think, are in stadium advertising. I think that's something that people probably don't quite understand. You know, the fact that Dr. Pepper is everywhere at an SEC championship event. Trust me, I know that. I saw that firsthand in Hoover last week. More Dr. Pepper than water in Hoover, Alabama. But, you know, it's the same way. I mean, you got all these different corporations that are with the SEC. They've got in-stadium signage. That's very lucrative. And it's not nearly what the TV piece is, but it's part of the piece of the pie. And, you know, the second part to something you said a second ago that I wanted to follow up on. Yes, there are contracts between SEC, ESPN, championship game, you know, all of that. But, you know, on the other hand, you remember when OU and Texas came into the SEC? Everybody said, oh, well, they can't come until a certain year. There are contracts. Like, they were holding golden tickets, you know what I mean? And eventually they were able to get out of the contract. And I think that's where the SEC is, if we do indeed go to 24 teams, they're holding a golden ticket here. Like, what you sacrifice for the championship game, you're probably going to make that back and then a lot more with an expanded playoff.
Yeah, I think it's possible. I don't know about 24. I know, like we were talking about the Big Ten, the commissioner had a quote the other day where he said something about how he didn't, the 16 team, at least for Big Ten purposes, would not cover what they would lose from the conference championship game. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, somebody kind of tried to ask Greg Sankey about that yesterday, about what it looks like for the SEC. And he didn't really want to say anything. He was a little bit cagey about it, but I think, it's just what we've learned in college sports is rules are unenforceable and contracts are dubious. Yeah. Is kind of where we're at right now.
They have buyout language for a reason. So you mentioned you talked to Ryan Silverfield, anything big come out of that conversation? Anything we didn't know before?
I talked to him a little bit about kind of these topics du jour here at the meetings. One thing I wrote about yesterday was kind of how some of these new coaches from the American are approaching these meetings. This is not the first time the coaches have met. They meet, I think, every month. They've met in person before. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to things like playoff expansion and things like this week where everybody's together, you're also meeting with ADs and presidents and chancellors and the commissioner, And I think he and Alex Golish, it seems like, have approached it in a similar way in terms of they would prefer, at least publicly, to listen and not try to make too many waves. They are not trying to commit super strongly to certain playoff pictures, and neither of them said exactly which number they prefer. I think in both cases they want to expand. Silverfield said expansion, like, we're hoping for expansion from 12. I would think that 24 benefits Arkansas more because it's more spots. But both of them are kind of doing sort of the, you know, hey, we're the new guys. Alex Golish went so far when he was at the podium yesterday to say, nobody in that room cares what I think about playoff expansion. They do not care. That's not kind of what I'm here for. I'm too new here. I'm too worried about what's going on at Auburn for me right now. And I think that's kind of the same approach Silverfield took. Now, John Summerall took a little bit of a different approach, at least in terms of his public comments. He said he prefers 24. He talked about why he had John Summerall is going to be a fun soil for the next few years. He's been very interesting. He had a lot to say yesterday. And you know, who knows what these conversations look like in the meeting rooms and kind of what these guys are saying, but it kind of sounds like some of these new guys, the new kids in town, are kind of doing a little bit more listening and researching than trying to stand up and you know, voice their opinions too loudly.
I can't imagine why. And I do hear, well, let me backtrack. I do hear the people who say, you know, it makes the regular season mean less. But if you're not an Ohio State or an Alabama or one of these teams that, you know, you are continually getting into the playoff the way the system is set up right now, why would you be against an expanded playoff? Like if you're an Arkansas fan, why would you be against a path that could get you into the playoff when you have a good year? Like if you're Arkansas, you've got to have an exceptionally great year right now to be able to get into the playoff. You can have an okay year, better than okay. You can have like a 2021 type season when they went, 9-3?
9-3.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can have that type of season. They were 8-4 in the regular season and finished 9-4. You can have that type of season because they were number 21 in the poll when they went to play Penn State. You can have that type of season and potentially get into the playoff. The 11-2 type season. That didn't happen very often. In fact, I think it's happened once in like close to 50 years here. So I would think if you're a Razorback fan, you would be all for this expanded playoff. And then I wonder, too, what that does to bowl games, because I feel like whenever and it does feel inevitable that the playoff is going to go to 24 teams at some point, if not more, the bowl games, something's going to have to be they're going to have to be addressed, because I know TV ratings are good for them right now, but I can't see bowl games being sustainable the way they are much longer.
Especially if you expand. I just think there's going to be even, you know, especially when there's playoff games going on earlier. I think that's one thing that's interesting about the playoff conversation is I don't know if anybody wants the college football postseason to be going into February, you know? And so that's part of, you know, that's the conference championship game conversation, but even still, how late are we going? But I think the more playoff games you have kind of throughout what's traditionally bowl season, yeah, maybe the less interest is going to be in some of those other games. So the future of bowl games has long been, you know, dubious, and I don't know, but I don't know what you do about it, because those are such, you know, those are kind of those institutions and those traditions that are hard for people in college football to be willing to give up, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It's difficult, but I feel like it's inevitable. It feels kind of like the NIT in basketball, you know, like the NIT, it was around forever. But eventually, you know, it's very much fizzled, at least in regards to what it used to be. I know you talked to Hunter Yurecek today too, but what came out of that conversation?
Yeah, I just walked over here from talking to him to get on the podcast. There's a lot in there. Went over a lot of different topics, a lot of sort of both these bigger picture sort of conversations, what's going on in these main rooms, but also a lot of kind of state of the union stuff with Arkansas. I think one thing that I'll probably write about today is there was a report last week that I reported on that was presented to the Board of Trustees from a consulting firm called Navigate. And they basically made a bunch of recommendations for opportunities for revenue for Arkansas in the future. They were recommendations. The board did not take any action. These are not things Arkansas have to do. But it was things that, hey, in our view, these are some ways that you could get some more money. And one of the big ones was changes to its ticketing model. So basically, they found that of the 32 schools they looked at, Arkansas was the only one that did not require different contributions for different sports. So your Razorback Foundation donation can, in theory, get you access to season tickets for any sport. You don't have to donate separately to football or to basketball to get those tickets. And so there was talk of, hey, you guys could get, you might be leaving money on the table by doing it this way. Hunter, your site just told me that the data that they looked at did not include numbers after the Budwalt Marina reseeding plan or after what they did with football last year, which was not a full reseat, but kind of doing away with some of those grandfathered in tickets. Mm-hmm. So the per seat contribution number that they had for Arkansas was very low, but it actually would be much higher now. They just didn't have that in the data because of the way fiscal years shake out and how annoying it is. So he was like, the per seat number now is actually much higher. So he was kind of saying, you know, that the model for, he was saying that with Arkansas's kind of unique situation and the level of contribution they are able to get for football and basketball and baseball, he said he doesn't know if doing, changing it to every different sport, if that really makes sense for Arkansas. He thinks that they might actually end up losing a little bit if they were to actually make that a reality. So there's a lot for him to explore from that report, a lot of different kind of information that came out of that. But I thought that was really notable because that was something that it seemed like the consulting folks thought was a really kind of easy way for them to get some more money. And I know people weren't sure how to feel about that because when you change ticket prices, when you maybe make it more expensive, when you have to contribute more, that's always going to ruffle feathers.
Well, just to, even if they don't change it now, that's something they can tuck away in their back pocket.
And, for sure,
Next day that they need a $10 million cash infusion, there's a potential, I guess, couch cushion to shake, right? It does feel like if they were to make that change that Navigate, recommended to them, it would make it a lot easier to get tickets for people in some of these sports where it's difficult to get tickets right now, because then you have to decide, hey, what sport do I really want to put my money toward? Football, those seats, I feel like, you know, for the next while, unless Ryan Silverfield comes in and it has a whole lot of success early, for the next little while, those tickets are going to be pretty easy to get. But basketball, baseball, those tickets especially, those are the ones that are very difficult. But I also wonder how much, if at all, those tickets would free up if they weren't tied to donations that could get you basketball, football tickets, et cetera. Interesting to see how that goes. Christina, appreciate you being with us. You can read all of Christina's coverage at wholehogsports.com. She'll be down in Destin for another day or so. She does a great job covering the Razorbacks for us. Hope that you'll visit us on our site. Tomorrow on the podcast, we'll have Ethan Westerman with us, also Patrick Ebert from D1 Baseball, as we talk about the Women's College World Series and the Lawrence Regional coming up this weekend in Kansas. Hope to see you there. Have a great day.